Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to CBIBC. Just to add my welcome to that of Tim earlier. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Nate. I'm the pastor here at CBIBC. I get the privilege of speaking from the Word of God most Sunday mornings and of working together with our deacons to help lead our church. This morning I want to give you that greeting. Some of you knew it because you're a part of the inside gang. But we learned this a few years ago in Europe, actually several years ago while my wife and I were on a trip to Europe. There was a church that introduced us to this idea of when the leader says he is risen, everybody else responds back, he is risen indeed. So if you kind of missed that one the first time around, let's try it again and everybody can get in on the game, okay? So here we go. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Yeah, it's Easter Sunday morning. So great to be together with the body of Christ. So glad to have spent time with you all throughout this weekend. Actually, we like to consider ourselves a family here at CBIBC. We like to consider ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ. So though we're not blood family of the same mother and father, we are connected by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which eternally is stronger than even the blood relationships we have with our family members. And so when we talk about church here in the local body, we're seeking more and more to have connections with each other that run deep, that are strong, that encourage each other and build each other up, that are there for each other in the difficult times and celebrate with each other in the times that are celebrate worthy in each other's lives, where we try to live life together. And Tim talked about our life groups that we meet in throughout the week. Those are, at this point, 6 or 8 different groups that meet around in different places throughout the week. And those are chances for you to share more intimately with one another. So in a setting like this, you might say hi to one or two people over your sausage roll that you're eating before church, but you don't really share deeply. But in the life group setting, the idea is as week in and week out you meet together, you're able to actually share more deeply about what's going on in your life. And that's how the Bible says really we start to grow when we're in community and we're encouraging each other in the faith, we're praying for each other, looking at the Word, applying it to our lives. So I want to encourage you to join in our church family. I do have a picture from the retreat yesterday. This is the crew. We didn't get a picture on Friday, so if you're here Friday and didn't make it into the picture, I'm sorry. But we had a great time out at the Sai Kung Outdoor Recreation Center and had tons of fun playing games and looking at the Word together. For those of you who don't know, we've been going through a series in the book of Exodus. And over the retreat, basically, we talked about the 13 chapters related to the tabernacle. And some of you are going, boy, I'm glad I missed out on that. But no, actually, it's very exciting to look at what the tabernacle points to. What's the purpose? We always talk about how the Old Testament is pointing us towards something. Jesus came not to do away with the Old Testament law, but to fulfill it. And so when we read the Old Testament thinking Christianly, we're pointing forward towards Christ. So we got to do that over the weekend. If you missed it, you want the notes from that, I can get them for you. But next week we'll be moving on to a new series in the book of Hebrews. And so some of that we'll pick up along the way, because the book of Hebrews really is a book to Jews to help them understand how the Old Testament fits into the New Testament with Jesus. So we'll make several references back to the Old Testament as we go through the book of Hebrews. For today, I was thinking about Easter, though, you know, and some of the traditions that go along with Easter. I grew up in a family that was Christian, and what that meant on Easter was that we always had to dress up in special outfits for Easter. I see some have special dresses today, outfits on to commemorate the holiday. And maybe this is why I don't like to wear a tie now. I don't know. But, you know, this is not actually me, just by the way. Just making sure you weren't trying to find me in the picture. No, but, you know, that it's a very common thing in American culture, actually, where I grew up. The kids, they dress to the nines, we say, you know, really dress up a lot to go to church, especially on Easter. There are other traditions that are part of the celebration. Every Easter Sunday morning when I was growing up, my brother and I would rush out into the living room, and my mom and dad would have put a basket out there for us that had always a chocolate bunny inside. What that has to do with Easter, I don't know exactly, but we always had it, right? And that was part of the cultural fun. When we got to church, you know, there was always a breakfast like we had this morning, special things, and it always included donuts where we were from. Like, we had this special donut place called Shipley's Donuts. It was like, oh, we know we're going to get a donut on Easter Sunday morning. You know, through the Easter holiday, flowers are a big deal. Springtime is here. Sometimes it's in people's houses. In church, they would, you know, really do it up. The ladies who were on the flower arranging team, you know, would have a big spread out in front of the church. It's like, woo, we're celebrating Easter. And, you know, actually all these things and the food related to Easter, the chocolate bunnies, the Easter egg hunts like we did this morning, they're fun traditions, fun to be a part of the holiday, but actually they don't have a ton to do with the actual celebration of Easter. What we're doing on Easter is more about what God is doing in us. But we do like new things, and I kind of want to look at this one. Maybe some of you will understand what this is. This is trying to picture a new car. Any of you ever bought a new car? Some of you have. I haven't, but I've sat in some people's new cars before. And there's a certain smell about a new car. You know what I'm talking about? Actually, I've heard that car companies actually try to inject it, infuse it, so that a car stays smelling new longer. You can actually buy a new car smell air freshener if you want to. You know, put inside your 78 Corolla, you know, just put it in there. It'll smell new. You'll feel like you're driving a new car. But the new car smell is something that we, oh yeah, it's new. We like new things. And Easter makes us think about new things. Actually, there's a verse in the scripture that talks about how the Christian life, genuine Christian life, actually has an aroma about it. This is 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So when we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's supposed to happen, right, when we put our faith in Him is that He begins to transform our lives. And as Tim prayed about this morning, the fruit of the Spirit starts to come out of us. The Spirit of God comes to live in us. And love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control begins to ooze out of us. And people at work go, wow, that guy's a little bit different. Or people at school, she's a different kind of girl. She's not like the others. Or in your family members, you know, you become a Christian and they start to go, what really happened to you? Like, you're not the same person who was all contentious in the family dinners before. Like, you've become sweet. Like, what's the deal with that? The aroma of Christ begins to develop in us. And maybe some of you are here because you've sniffed some of that aroma around Christians. And you maybe don't believe yet, but you're trying to figure out what that is. What is that people have? And you want some of that in your life. You want some of the peace that exists in their heart. You want to experience the kind of joy that, even in the midst of difficult things, has this kind of settledness about people. You want to experience that. And so you come and you're part of CBIBC and the church scene. And first of all, I just want to say, if that's you, welcome. Like, really, genuinely, as believers in Jesus, we consider ourselves a family, but a growing family. I mean, the new life of Jesus is supposed to be something that spreads, that includes more and more people all the time who are believing and coming into the family of brothers and sisters in Christ. And you might say, well, if I come here, I don't really have the aroma. Maybe I'll smell something different. People go, oh, you don't got the aroma. Listen, none of us had the aroma, right, before. We didn't make ourselves have the aroma. The aroma came from Jesus. When Jesus saves us, it's not about something that we were so good and so we became a moral, holy, Christian, religious type of person. No. I mean, we come to Jesus with all of our sins, our failures, our heartbreaks, our anger, our wrath, our sexual immorality, our bad thoughts. We come with all these things, and our aroma to Christ and to people around us is not so good. But when we put our trust in Jesus, the Son of God, who came down from heaven to save us, what happens is a spiritual transformation. And that's what I want to talk about this morning in the passage that we're looking at. I want to talk about the new life, the new life. And we read the passage in Romans 6, chapters 1 through 8. You heard about this connection with Jesus, this new life connection. And I just want to start with one key idea, and that's this, that new life requires spiritual renewal. It's a little bit difficult to get our heads around spiritual renewal. How does that take place? Many of you have maybe heard the idea of the new life talked about. Maybe you've heard people try to explain it like they're a born-again person. And sometimes that's used in a good way, and sometimes it's like, oh, they're a born-againer, right? Somebody who's not a Christian is like using that as a slang curse word towards, oh, one of those born-againers. I don't want to be around them. Maybe you've heard the term becoming a believer or a follower of Jesus. These are all terms that are used to talk about someone who's undergone this spiritual transformation. Now, not everyone who comes to church is someone who's undergone this spiritual transformation. So if that's you, you're here and you go, I'm not religious, haven't gone, it's okay. We welcome you to be a part and to discover and to seek and to read God's word and to pray and look for that connection with Jesus yourself. There are many people here, and I would encourage you that there are many in this place if you're looking for people to connect to who have the aroma of Christ and can lead you in what it looks like to put your faith in Jesus and follow after Him. CBIBC is a great place to come to get started in the faith. So welcome to be a part. But there is a spiritual renewal required, and actually verses 3 and 4 talk about this. Let me just read it to you again. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, a little explanation is needed here. You see the image of baptism used in this phrase. I don't think Paul is talking about the ceremony of baptism that we do here at CBIBC. We go out to the ocean. A few of you have been baptized here at CBIBC. We believe that baptism is something that happens after your spiritual transformation. So when you put your faith in Jesus, you trust Him, you're going to follow Him with your whole life, then you get baptized in response to that to tell the world, this is what's happened to me. I died with Jesus, I was buried, my old life is gone, and I've raised to a new life in Christ, and I want everyone to know that I'm a follower of Jesus. That's how we consider baptism. Now, Paul, I think, is using baptism in this passage as an imagery to help us understand the spiritual transformation that takes place. He uses the imagery of baptism to help us understand dying and being raised again. Do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? So in other words, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, in a sense we're saying, just like Jesus died on the cross for my sins, when I put my faith in Him, I too am dying to the old life that was once me. The person that was me before I turned to faith in Jesus, I'm going to say, rest in peace. It's over. I don't want you anymore. The old life of fear, the old life of rebellion against God, the old life of shame, the old life of sexual immorality, the old life of speaking things I shouldn't say, the old life of hurting people around me, being hurt by people, being uncomfortable all the time, having a lack of peace. I want to say goodbye to that whole life. And I want to live a new life. And the new life part is talked about here as well. We were buried with Him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. It's not just a spiritual death that happens when we come to know Jesus, but a spiritual life that comes forth when we come to know Jesus. So today is Easter, Fuhojie, right? The new life, rising again from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. We celebrate that. And really that makes Christianity unique among all the religions of the world. That's, we have the God of heaven came down from heaven to earth, lived a human life. He died a sacrificial death for our sins, and he rose gloriously from the grave on the third day. And some of you go, I'm not sure I believe that yet. That's okay. Yeah. Hey, welcome to be around and to read the word. I mean, this weekend we looked in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are hundreds of prophecies that speak about Jesus and how he was going to come, the Messiah was going to come, and even the resurrection is prophesied about in the Old Testament. Over 500 people saw Jesus alive when he was raised, including his 12 disciples who almost every one of them lost their life contending that they really did see Jesus risen from the dead. There's a lot of evidence there, but keep studying. If you're not there yet, you're not ready to believe, I understand. It seems like the impossible. But if there is a God who created the universe out of nothing, doesn't it stand to reason that he could also raise his own son from the grave? Absolutely. And when you see the power of the resurrection at work, causing the aroma of Christ to be in people around here, you go, there's got to be something about this. So keep pursuing. Keep asking God to show you, is it true? And when he comes and shines his light into your heart, you'll be ready. And you'll put your faith in Jesus and you'll walk with him. And it'll be glorious. A glorious day, like we sang about this morning. He called my name and I ran out of the grave, right? I ran out to Jesus because he's calling me. Listen for the calling of Jesus. He's calling you to himself to raise up from the grave. So some of you may be saying, I don't get it. So how does the fact that Jesus died and rose from the dead help me to have a new life? I'm glad you asked that question. Second key point this morning that I want to talk about is that new life comes from a spiritual union. This concept of a spiritual union is given to us here. Verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Somehow, we have to be united with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Unity with Christ speaks of the fact that Christ has already accomplished a great spiritual work. And when we are united with Christ, we get to reap the benefits of the work that he did in dying on the cross and rising from the dead. So in other words, we don't make ourselves Christian by trying to be righteous people ourselves. We become Christians by uniting with the righteous one. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. I have that here. Unless one is born again, we say, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So this is this spiritual transformation when we get united with Christ happens by faith. It happens in a born-again experience. The old life is gone and the new life has come when we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. And here's the verse I was talking about, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin, meaning Jesus, to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we become the righteousness of God through the righteousness of Jesus. So by faith, when we believe, and you say, how does believing do? I don't know, but I know that God has said it's true, that when we believe, when we trust that Jesus really is who he says he was, that he really did what he said he was going to do, when we say, Jesus, I'm all yours, I want to follow you, take the rest of my life, he answers that prayer. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can count on it that he will forgive your sin, that he will cause you to die to your old way of life. He will cause you to raise to a new life. Now, the new life, the last point I want to share with you this morning, the new life results in spiritual freedom. And spiritual freedom. Sin, as we've talked about earlier, we are all sinners. We've all done wrong things. Sin is anything that you think, say, or do that does not please God, that's in rebellion against him. In the scripture, we have many commands. Now, that's why people think that, say, the Bible's all about commandments, and you got to do enough good things and not very many bad things, and then you'll be okay. That's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is, yes, God has a law to show us that we've fallen short of his glory so that we would cry out for his salvation and be saved by him and cleansed by him. But it reveals our sin, and all of us are sinful people. We've done wrong things against God. And this passage speaks about that, that sin is the thing that keeps us from the new life. Sin is the thing that keeps us from this spiritual union. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says this, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin." So this union with Christ, this spiritual transformation that takes place, results in us getting freed from sin. So sin is like a slave master. You know, you think of someone who's in slavery. They have to go everywhere the slave master tells them to go. They have to do everything the slave master tells them to do. They're normally a cruel task master. And sin is like that for us. When we feel this sense of being controlled by sin. Maybe you have experienced something like this, and maybe you're experiencing something like this now, where you feel like, I just can't get free from these things that tend to pull me down. Maybe it's an angry spirit that you just can't seem to get rid of. Maybe it's some sort of sexual immorality. Maybe it's some sort of slanderous talk. Maybe it's evil thoughts that you have in your mind, and you feel bound by those things, and it makes you miserable. And you really want to be free from them. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that there's hope for you. There's hope for a new life that isn't bound to these things, because the body of sin is that it might be brought to nothing, the scripture says, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Are you struggling this morning? How do we square the spiritual truth that we've been set free from sin? Maybe as a Christian, you're saying, hey, I'm a Christian, I believed in Jesus, but I still struggle with bondage to some sin. I still struggle with not being able to be free. And I think what happens for Christians is somehow we forget our identity. We forget our identity as someone who has died to the old way of life and lived and become alive and been resurrected to a new way of life. And when we forget our identity, we believe the lies of the enemy that say, you can't get free from this. The sin that you're struggling with right now, you can't be free. You can never be transformed. You know, and some people even talk about the Christian life this way. Well, you know, it's just hard. It'll be hard until we get to heaven, where you're always going to struggle with it. Hey, it's true. I mean, we do have to struggle against sin, but it is a struggle and a fight that we're supposed to be engaged in. A fight to crucify the sinful nature and to live according to the new life that Jesus has given us. And when we grasp each day, we wake up and say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm dead to the old way of life. I'm alive to the new way of life. I believe that your scripture says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't have to be bound to this sin that's bound me today. We confess our sins to God. Part of fighting and living and holding on to your identity is confessing your sins to God, saying, God, I'm so sorry that I've sinned today, acknowledging with him that it's wrong, and he cleanses you. He washes you clean. He says, I love you, my child. My shed blood has cleansed you. And part of it is about hanging on to his word. We fight because our identity is in Christ. We're new life people, and he's given us his word to fight, like Jesus did in the wilderness. When the evil one was tempting him, Jesus pulled out his word that he had in his brain. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. He used the word. He threw it back in the face of the temptation of the enemy, and he stood strong against that sin. Jesus was showing us how to live the new life. We too need to hang on to the word, and we get into the body of Christ. We go to a life group so that we can share honestly with one another. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. Why? So that you may be healed. You see, we don't just do life groups because that's a good way to organize the church family. No, we do that for our spiritual good and the spiritual good of the other person who's there. We're speaking the truth to one another in love. We're building each other up. We're calling each other to a standard to live the new life that God has called us to. And so we fight the good fight of the faith. We own our identity and we keep pressing forward to live the new life. Some of you are here today and you're a Christian and you say, man, I'm not really living the new life, kind of victorious life. Today, it's available to you. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You can walk out of this room and be living the new life that God has called you to live. You don't have to shuffle around with your feet like this saying, I'm not a very good Christian. I don't do very well at this. I'm struggling with this, that. You don't have to live that life. You can live the victorious Christian life because Jesus has been victorious over the grave. We don't just die a death when we come to Jesus. We resurrect to a new life. Let's live the new life, brothers and sisters. And if you're here, and maybe you're hearing this message for the first time, or maybe it's like the 10th time you've heard it, and you would say, I'm not really a Christian. I wouldn't say, I've been born again. I've experienced the new life. Can I just invite you? Can I invite you to trust in Jesus? Why wait another day? Right? I mean, why wait another day living the aroma of death kind of life? And you know what I'm talking about. If that's you and you're here, you're spiritually sinking and you understand the death, the depression that's a part of your life, the shame that's a part of your life, the fear that's a part of your life, the guilt that's a part of your life, all that can be gone in an instant. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Today can be the day of your salvation where you walk out of this place free. Free from the evil one who wants to hold you, who wants to kill you, steal from you, destroy you. You can live this life with joy and peace and confidence and purpose. It's here for you. The new life of Jesus is here for you. So whether you've been a Christian a long time or you're just coming into this room and starting to experience the faith of Jesus Christ, come. Come to Jesus this morning. Would you pray with me and we'll seek His face about this. Lord, it all seems pretty simple when we're here in church. When we're experiencing the fun life of eating snacks and hanging out with friends and singing beautiful songs and hearing the message straight from your word, but it all gets more difficult when we get out into our weeks and life hits us in the face. And Lord, we confess we're far too quick to abandon the identity that we have in Christ and leave it all behind and believe the lies of the enemy and live the old life, the aroma of death kind of life. And we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to spend one more day in that old life. We want to spend Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and the whole rest of the week walking in the new life, walking in step with your Spirit. And so would you come and empower the people of CBIBC to live the new life. Congregation, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, would you just tell Him right now, Lord, I want to claim my identity. I'm dead. As Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. The one who loved me gave Himself for me. I claim that identity. I claim your promise. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I'm sorry about my sin. Just confess it to Him. Say, I'm sorry. And I trust you for cleansing. And I trust you to help me to hang on to your word this week, to hang on to the body of Christ this week, to walk in the power of the Spirit this week, to remember who I am as a resurrected brother and sister in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom. I want to live in your freedom. Trust you to help me live in your freedom this week. for those of you who are here and you haven't yet believed in Jesus, is today the day? Is Jesus speaking to your heart right now, calling you? Just like we sang that song, you called my name and I ran out of that grave. Do you hear the voice of God speaking in his still small voice, that quiet place in your heart saying, today's the day. Don't wait another day. Would you respond to Jesus today? Say, Jesus, I want the aroma of the new life. I want to be free from this aroma of death kind of life I've been living. I'm sorry for how I've sinned against you. But I believe you died on the cross to take away my sins. And I believe, though it's been a long time coming, finally today I say, I put my faith that you rose from the dead and thus raise me to new life. Take my life today. I'm yours forever. I give up trying on my own. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. And the Lord has made a promise to you. If you confess that to the Lord, he will save you forever, give you the eternal life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The everlasting life, the eternal life, begins now and lasts for all of eternity in his presence. You are his child. You are his son. You are his daughter forever. And no one can snatch you out of your hands. Even if you sin again and you start to turn back towards the old life, he's there to forgive you. You confess your sin anytime. He loves you. He welcomes you to walk with him. He knows that you're not perfect yet until you reach heaven, but he wants to help you along the way. Just say, yes, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to keep trying with you by your strength. Thank you, Lord, that you've met with us here today. And we've been together with the body of Christ today. Now as we sing and worship you, receive the glory of your people, boasting about who you are and what you've done in our lives. Keep us in our fellowship close together. Grow us as a family of God. Draw more and more people here into this family to believe and walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.